Welcome to St. James Bible Bites. This podcast was recorded live at our Sunday morning service. We continue our summer sermon series, and this week we are celebrating a wonderful day. Our talk is by Fabian Wirtz, our vicar, and the reading is taken from Psalm 118. We begin with our memory verse, taken from this psalm, and is verse 24. You can watch the whole service on our YouTube channel, which is also linked on our website. Our memory verse today is taken from Psalm 118, verse 24. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Psalm 118, verses 1, and then verses 5 to 9. Wow, this is really loud. Sorry. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. When hard-pressed, I cry to the Lord. He brought me into a spacious place. The Lord is with me. I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? The Lord is with me. He is my helper. I look in triumph on my enemies. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in humans. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes. This is the word of the Lord.
Start with, if I can ask Rachel to come and explain, because there's some hidden envelopes under some of your chairs, and I believe they're mostly in the middle section. Is that correct? So look under your chairs. If you see a hidden envelope, you raise it up and a child is going to collect it from you. So children, look at grown-ups with white envelopes and take it from them. This is for you. Now, Rachel, can you tell us again how many envelopes we are looking for? 16. So I think I haven't seen 16 yet. So might be some maybe some children might have to go around and check. Yes, I know. Lots of empty chairs. There we go. With some very enthusiastic grown-ups there, looking very intently. Those were there. So hopefully they will get the 16 envelopes. If not, we will see. Whatever, we will see. So while they're doing that, you might be a bit jealous. No, this is for you, and you take it to the back of the church there. You're going to find, I think, a secret message. So while this is happening, I also have something for you. I wonder how you felt this morning, or most morning, when you woke up. Did you feel a little bit like this gentleman, kind of stretching, looking forward, it's a kind of bright day, not too bad? Or maybe even you stretch with a big smile, actually, you were looking forward most days to the days, there's good days, I'm looking forward to a new day. Or maybe you're more like that person, right? There we go. An eye half closed, an eye half open. I'm not sure about today. Maybe it's going to be half good or half not so good, and deciding, you know, am I going to make it or not? Or maybe you're more like him. No, not another day, please. You know, I wish this alarm clock would just stop. Maybe you're like him then, says, well, let's just sleep a little bit more. You know, this is so cozy. I feel staying in bed is much better. Now, I did find a picture that represents me most days. This is me in the morning. Bring me the coffee, please. I can't do anything without coffee. Today we're exploring. This is the day that the Lord has made. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it, even if there is no coffee. I think I would find it difficult, but I need my coffee. This is what Joyce Meyer says. Every day is a gift from God. Learn to focus on the giver and enjoy the gift. Every day is a day that we can share with God. Every day is a day we can see Him at work in us, through us, around us. Every day is a day we can experience His presence and know Him better. And so in our writing this morning, the person who wrote that psalm gives us two reasons to be grateful and to give thanks to God every day. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His faithful love endures forever. Other translation says, His love never quits. And for the writer, this is not just a lovely saying, a kind of a lovely idea or concept of God, that God is faithful, that God is good. It's not even just eternal truth about God, which are true. No, for him, the goodness and the enduring love he's talking about are embedded in the realities of his own life and the life of his community, the faith of Israel. It's grounded in real experiences. So what are those experiences in that psalm? Well, the first one is experience of comfort and protection. He says, "The Lord is with me, I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? The Lord is with me, He is my helper. I look in triumph on my enemies." No, it looks most probably that David wrote again this psalm, and David is a king. And as a king, throughout his life, he had to face battles, and he had to face political conflicts and opposition. So he knows what it means to maybe afraid, to need some help, and to seek protection. And he learned through that that God is with him. He learned to trust him, not to be afraid, to experience God's comfort and protection, his enabling presence with him. And that little phrase, "fear not," or "have no fear," or "do not be afraid," appears more than 100 times in the Old Testament and more than 44 times in the New Testament. God tells his people again and again and again not to be afraid. Not to be afraid of any person or circumstances or even created things. Because God sees. God knows. God acts. God will put to right when we face difficult or unjust situation. God loves you and me. He cares for you and me. God is with us and protects us, even in times of hardship and suffering. God's faithful love extends even after this life. He preserves and keeps us safe in His hand. That's why David can say, "Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, and His love endures forever." But not just his protection and his enabling strength, but also that God is reliable. "It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in people," he says. "It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes." Another translation says in celebrities, because maybe we still have a royal family, but maybe we're less used to that idea. But better to trust in the Lord than in celebrities. This is about the ultimate place. Now, if I'm sick, I'm happy that I can trust in a GP. If I need a surgery, I'm happy that I can entrust my life into the hands of faithful people who are skilled. There is a level of we are entrusting each other our lives in certain ways. But this is about the ultimate place of rest, the ultimate place where we go when there is crisis and life storms and difficulties and challenges and grief and pains and injustice. It's not to deny that we have friends and family and the church who are part of God's way to help us, to protect us. But we do that with our faith and our trust in God. He is the ultimate refuge. And that word refuge is often that idea of a place and a shelter, a little bit like if you're lost in a mountain and a storm comes and you feel the cold and you know the only chance to survive is to get to that shelter. That's the safe place. I don't know if you've ever been in a snowstorm. Most probably here, the worst we can have is high winds and pouring rain, but maybe that's you've experienced that on the Quantox, or you know, if you've been able to go to places like Snowdonia or the Brecon Beacon, or if you've even been lucky to go to the Alps or maybe greater mountains. I one day was in a real snowstorm with a friend. He is a very good mountainous, and we were in the Alps, and he wanted me to explore and to experience ice climbing. So he had all the gears, and we started climbing this wall of ice, and I didn't realize how tiring it is. I thought, oh, it's not too bad. You know, it's about 10-15 meters. Oh, I can do this. After the third or the fourth, I was just exhausted already. It's like really pulling, and then the storm came. And we were about, I think it was maybe 20 meters, maybe 30 meters. Oh, I'm going to, I don't know. It was huge for me. So I just couldn't finish it. I really got really tired. So he had to climb on the really top, and he had to pull me physically. We didn't get to a shelter like this, but we were glad when we saw his car. The car was our shelter. But the Lord is our refuge. Always has been and always will be. And that was the experience of David. But not only David experienced God as his refuge and God as the one who would protect him, but also that God is the one who prunes him, teaches him, disciplines him. And that's the more difficult time of our lives. But he speaks in that psalm, "The Lord has chastened me severely. God tested me. He pushed me hard, but he didn't hand me over to death. I didn't die. I live, and now I'm telling the world what God did." And there, like "do not fear" or "do not be afraid," words like "trials," "temptations," "refining," or "testing" occurs more than 200 times in Scripture. A church leader once said, "You are always, we are always being tested. God watches our responses to people, to problems, to success, to conflict, to illness, to disappointment, and even to the weather. He even watches the simplest actions, such as when we open a door to someone else, or we pick up a piece of trash, or when we're polite towards a waitress. The truth is that our character often is best revealed through difficulties, through challenges. And it is then shaped by our responses. The good news is God never let us be tested beyond our strength. And he always gives us the strength, the grace, the mercy we need every day. The truth is that life can be difficult, and you did highlight for some today it is a difficult time in your life. Trials of life are not there to make our life hard, but they can be, when we know that God is with us, opportunities to see God's grace, God's goodness and faithfulness, and to grow in our trust and in our experience of his love. And so that's the four things that he experienced. David's experience God's deliverance. And that was not always quickly. We are in this world of instant deliverance or instant solution, but sometimes we linger with difficulties and trials. He says, "When hard pressed, I cried to the Lord. He brought me into a spacious place." There are times in our Christian life when we will feel hard-pressed. Times when maybe you're not looking to another day. Times maybe the only thing you might be able to pray is, God, get me through this day. In the passage, David speaks of being surrounded by nations, surrounded on every side, swarm around me like bees. And sometimes life can feel like that, being surrounded by difficulties and challenges or grief or unfair treatment. He even says, I was pushed back and about to fall, but the Lord helped me. And that experience brought a new space, brought him into a new space. He says, the Lord is my strength and my defense. He has become my salvation. You see, it's not theory when David speaks about God's goodness and his faithful love. It's through the trial he went through that he is able to say, God has become my salvation. In a sermon entitled Trusting in God When You Don't Feel Like Trusting Him, a church leader once said that there are lots of time when God takes our feelings away so that our life depends on our faith and not just our feelings. And I can relate to that throughout my life, but more particularly when I was a young adult and I experienced a serious burnout. And I was that person who basically would woke up and says, I just hope to make it through the day. Can you get me through this day? But there are also lessons during that time that I've learned that I would not have learned any other way. And sometimes God takes away our feelings of feeling great and happy so that we learn to trust him, even when it's hard. And so David then moves, I will give you thanks for you answered me. You have become my salvation. You are my God, and I will praise you. You are my God, and I will exalt you. And so this is what he says in that psalm. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, and his love endures forever. And so all those experiences brought him to a greater place of praise and gratitude. Every day can be time when we can, I'm not going to, every day can be time where we have things to give thanks to. We can give thanks to the very simple things of life, like food, friends, family, neighbors, just the fact that I have a roof above my head, and of course, so much more. We can praise God that we are secure in his hand. He's paid the price to reconcile us to himself. We will always be God's friend. We can learn to praise God in hard times too, in the midst of heavy storms. And that's not to minimize or deny the heaviness of our hearts, but it's about redirecting our thoughts and making our focus on God, learning to focus on the giver and enjoy even whatever small gift we might experience that day. To remember that he promised never to leave us, never to abandon us, that we can count on his presence even when our emotions can't confirm it. And so even in hard time, David and we are called to keep praising, to keep giving thanks, to keep trusting, to keep praying. And that's why Paul, this great church planter, could say to the church in Philippi while in prison, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, and again we have this idea of praise and prayer, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. You see, it's not about the transformation of your circumstances first. It's about the transformation of our heart and our mind to know that whatever the storm, God is there. So every day is a gift from God. Let us learn to focus on the giver and to enjoy the gift. Instead of worrying, we can pray. We can let our petition, our request, and our praises shape our worries into prayers. To let God know of our concerns. And before we know it, a sense of God's wholeness. Everything may be coming together. Not maybe our circumstances changing, but at least the way we look at the world. And you will be able to say with growing confidence whether you feel this way or whether you feel that way, that this is the day that the Lord has made. I will find ways to rejoice and be glad in it. And in a way to remind us of that, we're going to sing, "This is the day that the Lord has made." And we're going first to see, have you had all the letters? Yes, okay, children. So while the worship team comes to the front, we're going to see what the message is. Ooh, there we go. There's something very precious coming from. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Thank you. Well done, well done. Yes.
For more Bible Bite podcasts, simply visit our website, www.stjamestaunton.co.uk, and click on resources. Thank you for listening, and may God be with you today.